Hello, I'm Jan van der Maat, and welcome to this edition of Global Focus. Well, earlier in the week, the secrets-revealing site WikiLeaks did it again. They published the first part of documents from what they called Vault 7, a treasure trove of secret information, code descriptions of cyber weapons used by the US's Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. How worrying are these revelations? We asked several specialists and insiders about these cyber weapons that may threaten us all. I first went to ask Cindy Cohen, the executive director of the Electronic Frontier Foundation in San Francisco, to describe what she found in the WikiLeaks latest documents.
And the one I think that was surprising to the most people was an exploit that let them turn on a smart TV, a Samsung smart television, and have it start recording what was going on in the room in a way that was very hidden from the user. The machine, the TV still looked like it was off, but they could actually turn it on and start recording it. But it's a big problem in a lot of internet-connected things, not just TVs, but baby monitors and home security systems and other things, that somebody can remotely turn on the device and have it start recording and spying on you without your knowledge. And I'm hopeful that this will really push those companies to building in better security into these devices.
I then asked author James Bamford, who first revealed the operations of the National Security Agency, another U.S. intelligence outlet, to a large public in the 1980s, and a lifelong researcher on intelligence issues, how the current leaks were different from what NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden revealed in 2014.
They're very different from the leaks that came from Edward Snowden. What Edward Snowden released basically were a lot of documents that showed how the NSA was eavesdropping on American citizens as well as on foreign officials like Angela Merkel in Germany, Dilma Rousseff in Brazil, and so forth. So his leaks dealt mainly with eavesdropping on large communications channels and on foreign leaders. The WikiLeaks release a few days ago were very different in that they were basically weapons. They are the kind of weapons that are used to hack into communications. In other words, they weren't the actual eavesdropping communications. They were the weapons used to get that information. So they were digital weapons, and the problem is that they could be used by anybody who gets a hold of them to break into systems like an Apple iPhone.
Peter Eckersley, the chief computer scientist with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, explains what risks there are.
All of our devices are buggy, and anytime your devices contain bugs, there's the potential that those bugs could be used as a way to break into the device, hack into the laptop, listen to you, monitor you in some way. And so computer security is sort of a struggle against these bugs. And what we might hope is that intelligence agencies would help us, that they would be doing defensive cybersecurity work, finding these bugs, helping technology companies to fix them to keep our infrastructure more secure. But what we're seeing here is that the CIA has been really focused on building an arsenal of these bugs, not getting them fixed, using them to break into devices, and as a structural consequence, leaving us all less secure.
In the end, he argues, democracy worldwide is at risk.
Around the world, there are all these intelligence agencies that have acquired the ability to break into our devices, to spy on anyone, to mess with anyone. And they're acting in secret with little or no accountability whatsoever. And we're starting to see some of the terrifying consequences that can follow from this. If you look at the recent elections that happened in the United States, we saw especially the role of the Russian intelligence agencies being extremely alarming, but also some serious question marks over the roles of the U.S. agencies. And democratic civil societies are going to need to find a way of holding these institutions accountable and protecting themselves against having our elections messed with, political parties hacked, and our democracy threatened.
And Ray McGovern, a former CIA analyst, is not even sure that it was the Russians who manipulated the elections in the U.S.
The NSA has the capability and does do worldwide monitoring of everything that goes over the network. So if there were proof that the Russians were responsible for those two revelations, the one against Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee, and then the one against John Podesta, which showed her speeches before Wall Street, NSA would surely know about it.
But this massive information gathering by intelligence services was not always routine, says Bamford.
Back in the 60s, 70s, and early 80s, and actually most of the 80s, information was analog. In other words, it was far more difficult to intercept and to convert into usable intelligence because it was analog. Once everything switched to digital, then it became much easier to transfer communications through fiber optic cables and so forth. And it also became far more easy to intercept it all. The problem the public has is that a lot of the information we use, there's no real alternative but to use that vulnerable communications. The only alternative is encryption. And I think more and more people are beginning to turn to encryption.
At the same time, says Eric Denessé, the director of the French Center for Intelligence Research, C42R, there's simply too much information for the agencies to digest.
U.S. intercept far exceed the number of the interception coming from China and Russia together. So this is very interesting. We know that the U.S. are listening, but I think this is important for us to understand that step by step, this is something which is very dangerous for the U.S. because to listen to everybody, everywhere, at any time, is no longer espionage for national security. In my opinion, this is a kind of pathology. You know, this is a sign of irremediable drift towards a form of imperialism, of totalitarianism, because of course everybody understands that we have to do some electronic intelligence to try to anticipate the threats against national community, but in such a proportion that something absolutely crazy and stupid.
Bamford agrees.
It's so easy to do this, eavesdropping on massive amounts of communications. France does it. A lot of countries do it. The question is whether you're overwhelming yourself with too much information. And that seems to be the problem here. It's not the lack of ability to intercept communications that's the problem. It's the lack of ability to sift through it all. So if you build this enormous haystack of data, of electronic haystack, the bigger you build the haystack, the harder it is to find that electronic needle, that little piece of code that you're looking for. Collecting all this information, to a large degree, is a waste of time.
But surveillance of everybody is increasing by the year. Cohn makes this comparison.
Let's take it out of the digital realm. If there's a policeman walking by and they notice that the lock on your front door is broken, they should tell you so you can fix it. They shouldn't make a note of it and then not tell you and then lose control of that note so that criminals can get access to the fact that your door is broken. That's what's happening in the digital realm now.
So what to do? Denise thinks he has the solution.
On one side, we can say, obviously, people freely give all the information about them on the social networks or the telecommunication. But then on the other side, I don't think this will allow the intelligence agency to listen to everybody all the time. Maybe we would have to develop kind of training for our citizens to help them to know what to do exactly with their phone and computers in the new context of information age. Because most of the time, the people gave really a lot of information on social networks. And on the other side, they complained about the fact that intelligence agencies are listening to them. So I think when technology allows such possibilities, we have to train the people on a personal level to help them to understand what to do or not to do in this new context.
And with that, we end this edition of Global Focus. Don't forget to tune in same time next week. And from me, Jan van der Made, goodbye.